Good morning. Glad you could be with us today. 2020, what a year. What a year. A year like no other in American history. We're only halfway through. We see such a brokenness in the year 2020 on so many levels in so many ways. And yet, if you're like me, hopefully you also see that there's beauty amidst the brokenness. A number of years ago, Mark Schultz had a song called Broken and Beautiful. As a matter of fact, we had him at our church in Oakbrook Community Church. He and some other artists were there. It was a big night. I mean, we had lots of folks from all over the Chicago area. One of the things I've always remembered from that night is that one of our main bathrooms had a stall that was out of order. And someone had taken masking tape and put a big X on there so no one would go in there, and he just said that it was broken. And somebody came in afterwards and used the title of one of Mark Schultz's songs, Broken and Beautiful. Wise guy. I just want to say I'm not the one that did that. But we live in a time where there's so much brokenness. And we wonder sometimes, why does God leave us in this broken world? And one of the best answers that I can give you is love. That in the midst of the brokenness, that we have the opportunity to learn how to love other people. Isn't that what the story of the Good Samaritan is all about? That there's a problem, but maybe we can be a part of the solution? Some time ago, we had a couple of our granddaughters over, and we have wonderful grandchildren. And I'm going to leave the names out for this story. And I was finishing up doing something, and well, there was a disagreement. Our granddaughters were not getting along. As a matter of fact, they then tried to solve it between themselves. And these are young girls that are about, yay, you wouldn't even see them if they were right here in the room. They'd be too short. Anyway, they went back into the sunroom. The door was closed and they were trying to work it out, but it was going kind of from bad to worse as they were trying to sort through everything. Heidi's a wonderful nanny. That's her title with the kids. But she just kind of looked at me and she's like, I knew what the look meant. You want to give it a shot? I said, sure. So I went back. The sunroom's kind of my room. And that's really kind of like my office. It's where I read and everything. So I said, girls, let's have a seat. 5 minutes later, we were back at the dining room table and we were playing the memory game. And at that point, one of my granddaughters looked at me and she just said, I'm telling you, this is like highlight of me being a grandfather. She looked at me and she just said, you fixed us. So a little backstory. They were having a little conflict and I sat them down and said, let's talk about this. And a couple things came out. One, the more they tried to forgive, the more fingers kind of got pointed. One thing I said was, let's do the Frozen thing. You know the movie Frozen. Yeah, let it go. They still weren't letting it go, but you know what I reminded them? I told them, I know that you two love each other. I know that you love each other. Now, I normally try to make somebody else the person who looks really good in the story, but that's too good of a story to not tell, even if I come out looking like the good Papa Paul. So we live in a world where there's a history of people not getting along. That's part of the human story. And this morning, we're going to take a look, and I'm borrowing some things from Tony Evans. The rough outline of the first 3 points is from something I heard from him in Atlanta about 1995. But it's the story of how paradise was lost, how relationships between human beings and nations got messed up, and how in the world we could rise above it. I'll be back to share with you in just a few minutes. Thou with me, Lord.
Thou, my great Father, I, thy true Son, Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always, Thou and Thou only, be first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, victory is won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Let me begin by leading us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where we experience so much brokenness, and we want to be part of the healing. We want to be part of the solution. Show us how. Speak to us from your word, and your spirit that is ever present is with each person right now, wherever they are, whenever they're listening to this. And so I pray that you'd speak to us from your word. Speak to the dysfunction in our world, in our families, in our hearts, and bring your wisdom, your touch. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone from our church a number of years ago sought to read the Bible through for the first time. Really had never spent a whole lot of time reading the Old Testament. Made an observation to me. He said, man, was there dysfunction. Because I thought we were messed up today. They were way more messed up. Well, you've got the first family. You got Adam and Eve. They got two kids. One son kills the other son. You're talking problems in the family. I mean, you just go on from there. It goes from bad to worse. By Genesis chapter 6, this is what Scripture records. And in the NLT, the heading over this is a world gone wrong. In chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 6 in Genesis, it says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Now, one reminder, if we go back to what happened with Adam and Eve, what was the tree they were not supposed to eat from? It wasn't an apple tree. We don't know what kind of fruit it was. We know that it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you know, ever since then, we've been trying to figure it out. We need to go to God to try to figure out what's good and what's evil. Because we have a way of justifying our own means and ends when it comes to figuring out what's good and evil. It's kind of like opening up Pandora's box. And it got opened a long time ago. Verse 6 says, so the Lord was sorry he ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. That's Genesis chapter 6. By Genesis chapter 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel. And we know the story. They're building this huge monument, this huge tower, and they're going to go to the heavens. It was a temple to me. It was a temple to self. And God says, that's enough of this. Now, I got to tell you this. I find it humorous, in maybe not the best way, that some ministries, while the person's still alive, decide to name the ministry or a statue or a building after the person. I mean, what would you think if I said to you, when we come out of this and we start meeting again on 55th Street, I've decided that we're going to call it Paul Glyman Community Church, or maybe Paul Glyman Basilica. I remember when I pastored in the city, some of the people, they knew that I really love Mexican food, and they thought, why don't we call the new church, when we were starting it, why don't we call it Paul Glyman's Church of God and Taco Bar? Do you know, that's why you have a board. That's why you have multiple voices in leadership, so that knuckleheads don't put their names on everything. But that's what the Tower of Babel was really about. It was all about them. We can reach to the heavens. We can do whatever we want to do. So this is something that Tony Evans really kind of opened my eyes to. What happened after that? Trouble. I'm just going to share a bunch of ideas that some of the things that have happened since the Tower of Babel. And you've got all these different languages, and you've got this dispersion and people going all different ways. You got different languages. Nothing wrong with that. You've got misunderstandings. Oh, you've got misunderstandings. Much worse than what my granddaughter said. You've got disagreements. There's been racism for a long, long time. Wars, border disputes, world wars, slavery, ethnic cleansing. We could go on with the list, right? But these are just some of the things that from the very beginning of recorded history, those things have been there. And that's a problem. What's the solution? Could it be that there already is a solution? Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1. So Jesus has ascended to heaven. He told his disciples, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And they had an idea of what that meant, but it was going to be something new. This is the ushering in of a new age. Jesus has ascended. He's on the throne in heaven. And now he sends his Spirit, which is better than Jesus being here, because Jesus can only be in one place. But instead, he's going to give us his heart, his DNA, his Spirit to live within us. So what happened? Well, a number of things happened, but I think sometimes we in the church can't see the forest for the trees. And I give Tony Evans props for this, because he's the one that kind of opened my eyes to it. Acts chapter 2. So it's the day of Pentecost. All the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus promised. But here's what happened. They began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They didn't do it. The Holy Spirit gave them that ability. And that's cool. And that's wonderful. And I'm for all the gifts of the Spirit. But there was something that was really important, that sometimes we see the trees, but we can't see the forest, the big picture. It says, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And here are just a few, and I'll probably mispronounce a couple of them because they're not names that I often say. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, and we are all hearing people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Well, if you read on in the book of Acts, and we've been studying it on Tuesday mornings, the gospel of Jesus is for everyone. The incredible significance of what happened at Pentecost is that God was doing the reverse of Babel. All the things that dispersed people, now he was bringing them back together. Jesus came for everyone, for God so loved the world. No exceptions, no asterisks, no one is left out. Heretofore, the Jews were God's chosen people. They still are God's chosen people. And he did something unique and special through them so that he could bring our Redeemer, bring Jesus to earth. This is amazingly good news. But sometimes we miss the bigger picture. So, sometimes we start to think, well, how can we do it? It's not a how, it's who. Jesus can do it through us. As far as racial reconciliation, as far as people bringing people above their differences, we may not be able to do it, but Jesus is completely capable of doing it through us because he gives us his heart, his spirit, his DNA. So we started at Babel, and now we're seeing that Jesus is doing something new for the last 2,000 years through his Holy Spirit. Well, have I experienced that? I just want to share a few experiences with you. I've had the privilege of literally traveling most of the globe, not half the countries, but I've been a lot of places and experienced the connect that I have with folks that speak different languages. In essence, the only thing that I have in common with them is a belief in Jesus Christ. I want to share just a few of those. I remember being in Ecuador, and we were in Quito, which is 10,000 feet, and we drove by bus up to a church. It was like this big tent. There was clouds. Like, we were in the clouds. We were at like 12 or 13,000 feet. I had a chance to preach that night. It was a great night. I remember talking with people afterwards. In my mind's eye, when I remember that night, I never remember speaking a word that had to be translated. It was, but I just felt this incredible connect. I can't explain it, but I know I'm not the only one. There's other people that were there that night. It was like we were up in the clouds of heaven with our brothers and sisters from Ecuador, and language just didn't matter. It was very cool. Russia. Now, Russia's been in the news a lot in the last several years. Kind of forget about all that, but let's go back to when, like, we were kids. You know, when there was air raid sirens going off and we thought we were going to get nuked by the Russians. You remember, we were watching things like Rocket J Squirrel. Remember that with Boris Badenov? I mean, I think we get the idea. They were our enemy. Well, I had a chance to go to Russia shortly after the fall of the Iron Curtain. Got a piece of the Iron Curtain here in my house. The point is that when I was there, I'm meeting these Russian pastors, and I remember we're at the Hotel Siberia. It was myself, another pastor from the United States, and two Russian pastors, and we had this young lady with us, Lena. Lena is an amazing interpreter. I've worked with a lot of interpreters, translators, a lot of different places. She was amazing. I'll tell you this, the four of us ate dinner, and after a while, she was interpreting for us. I don't ever remember missing a beat. I don't know how she ever ate any food. She is UN quality. But my point is, here we are, sitting down with Boris Badenov, the people that we grew up thinking were our enemies, and we have all this in common. Why? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also remember preaching one night there to a large gathering, and Novosibirsk is where we were, and it's really the crossroads of Central Asia. If you go to the airport there, you'd understand what I mean. You'd see all the names of the different countries, a lot of countries that are not prominent on the boards and airports here in the United States. I had a chance to preach there one night. Lena interpreted for me. There's just some times where you get the idea that God is doing something. Had a chance to preach about my favorite New Testament character other than Jesus. That would be Barnabas. Most anybody who knows me knows that. But there was something special that night. As a matter of fact, one of the elders from our church came up to me and said, if I came on this trip for no other reason than to hear that message tonight, he said it would all been worth it. Folks, he had to have heard those words before. But my point is, something special happens when God's people connect across cultural and language barriers. It's an awesome thing. It's a special thing. I can remember multiple times being on the streets of Juarez and working with brothers and sisters with the church in the church there. Just wonderful, incredible memories and just wonderful connect. I can't explain it. What do we have in common? Jesus. That's it. We've got the same spirit. We've got the same goal to bring people to Christ. Wonderful thing. Number of years. Oh, Haiti. I mean, I got to mention Haiti. Pastor Duxon, you've tuned in a few times. If you are tuning in today, go ahead and click on Facebook and let us know that you're there. I've got 23 years on you, but I'll tell you what, I look up to you as a pastor because I've seen what you've done in areas that most people wouldn't even want to go in because of the voodoo. Just the connect that we have doesn't matter where we live. You understand, and I think everybody who's listening understands. So I want to tell one more story. A few years back, Carol Royster, who's a member of our church, her mother passed away. And the funeral was in an African-American church, far south suburbs. And because I'm Carol's pastor, I was invited to be a part of the service. I'd never met the pastor there before. And so when I arrived, shook hands with him, we greeted one another. And then he proceeded to say that I could find a bulletin on my chair. I said, okay, well, where's my chair? He pointed up to the front. Now, some churches have it where there's sort of these thrones on the platform. Well, I had the throne right next to his. And that impressed me. It's like, I've never met this guy before. He doesn't know who I am. And he puts me up on the stage. The reality is, he knew the one thing that we have in common. We preach the same gospel. We preach the same message of redemption in Jesus Christ. So he had me do the opening prayer. Now, this is unique. I've never seen this happen in any service I've ever been in. I got up, I did an opening prayer, I welcomed the people, I sat down, at which point he stood up, and as he was speaking, someone came up and interrupted him. I mean, not like from the side, from the congregation. And he paused. Well, it was the funeral home director, and apparently they'd given two times. We started at 10 a.m., but some people heard that it was going to be 10:30. So now we're going to have to put it on pause. And so the two of us just sat on our thrones up there for about 25 minutes. We had a chance to talk for a while. And it was kind of driving me a little crazy at first because he looked so familiar. If you know who the actor Cuba Gooding Jr. is, try to picture what his father would look like. That's exactly what this preacher looked like. So then we restarted the service, went through everything, and I don't know if there's another role that I had, but the service went fine, and then we went to the graveside. But before we got there, before we left the church, he just came up and said, would you be open to doing the committal statement? And I said, I'm absolutely prepared to do that. What an honor that he would ask me to do that. I'll never forget, as we took the time after the service was over to just chat a little bit, and he had said that he had wished he had offered to, it was quite a drive to the cemetery. He said, I should have offered you a ride. You know what it was? We both would have loved just a chance to connect. You know, it doesn't matter what it was, but there was something, there was a lot of racial unrest in the United States of America that weekend, that very weekend. I'll never forget shaking his hand, looking him in the eye, and just wishing that more people could understand the connect that we can have because we have Jesus alive within us. Jesus wants to raise us above our racial differences, and he is doing it. He will continue to do it until it's all over. So, where does all this lead? Then Tony Evans said, well, why don't you open up to Revelation chapter 7? Glad you asked. Revelation chapter 7. So we're in heaven. This is John the Revelator. This is the Apostle John, but he's taken up into the heavens. It's an incredible book. A lot of stuff in here I don't understand, but this makes quite a bit of sense. And it lists that there's going to be like these 12,000 people from 12 tribes, 144,000. Let me just say this. There are some groups that like to point out that we are the 144,000. And anybody who ever points it out is always one of the 144,000. Always seems a little suspect. And usually the people they're talking to are not. I'm not included. Folks, there's going to be a whole lot more than 144,000 people in heaven. Let's read what chapter 7, verse 9 has to say. John says this, after this I saw a vast crowd, too vast to count, too great to count. And who's in this crowd? From every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. Did you catch who that was? It was everybody who got dispersed through the Tower of Babel. It was everyone that's brought back together through Pentecost. Too many to count. Too vast. Too many. Everybody. Everybody's included. What an incredible message. Never forgot that message that I heard from Tony. You know, something else I want to mention, because I was looking it up in Bible Gateway. The word throne is used 40 times in the book of Revelation. It speaks to God's authority. It speaks to his royalty. It speaks to the fact that he is the king. And one day, there's only going to be one king, and we will all be together under his kingship. I long for that day. I love that it mentions in here the palm branches. Why? If you know me, you know that I'm not a big fan of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day that everybody got excited and they're accepting Jesus as their Messiah, but 5 days later he was dead. When this celebration goes on with those palm branches, I want some. I want some palm branches on that day. And I'll get excited like the White Sox are winning the World Series kind of excited. Yes, then. But our Palm Sundays now, they're always tempered by the fact that it didn't lead very far. Now I want to give you some, this, I'll call it bonus material. There's no charge for it. It's absolutely free. I want to talk to you about this obscure book from the New Testament. I'll bet that a lot of you aren't even that familiar with it. The other day, let me mention this. I was on YouTube, and there was like a PSA, public service announcement. And it says, click here to end racism, something to that effect. Wouldn't it be easy? Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could click here and racism would be ended? I wish it was that easy. Do I think there need to be reforms? Of course there need to be reforms. Are there laws that need to change? Of course there are laws that need to change. But let me ask you a question. Let's get real. Is that going to change people's hearts? Think about it. Information is important. Don't get me wrong. Re-education is important. Don't get me wrong on that. But to actually change someone's heart, I mean, sometimes you can control what somebody says, but you control what they think, what they feel. I think at best it's going to change some. So how does real change come about? Usually it comes as a change of heart. How does that happen? That transformation usually happens through relationship. It happens because of an interaction with another person. Someone shows us the way. Someone shows us how to do things differently than we've ever done them before. And so if you have a Bible, you can open up to the book of Philemon. And I know some of you are like, where is Philemon? Well, it's the last letter that's in the Bible under the name of, under the writings of Paul, so it's right before Hebrews. It's a letter that Paul writes to a wealthy man named Philemon in Colossae. Paul is in prison at the time. He's writing on behalf of Onesimus. And here's the backstory. Onesimus had been a slave. In those days, in the Roman Empire, a slave was an indentured servant. Probably wronged Philemon in some way, and then to work off the debt, whatever it was, he had to serve him. It was not a necessarily good thing. And let me just say this. Paul did not have a way to end slavery in the Roman Empire. Paul had no power whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the Roman Empire, about 4 or 5 years after him writing this letter, would behead him, even though he was a Roman citizen. That's the kind of power Rome had. Paul had no power to change the law. What he did have was influence in someone's life. And we're going to take a look at a few verses here. He could appeal to Philemon as his friend or as an apostle of Christ. And what he chooses to do is say, I want to approach you as a friend. And so I want to share just a few of the verses from here. There's only one chapter, so it's Philemon, verses 4 through 7. And he says, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort. My brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Could I suggest something to all of us right now? Most of us are not all one thing. In Christ, yes, we're redeemed, we're forgiven. God's got us on a path to become like Him. And we can't earn it. It's grace. But may I suggest to you that this same Philemon that Paul has all these wonderful things to say about also has some shortcomings in his life. So let me read on a little bit in the story. In verse 8 it says, that is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing to do. But because of our love, I prefer to simply ask. Consider this as a request from me. Paul, an old man. I never caught that till I was preparing for this message, but that's, I kind of like that. I can own that part of Scripture, Paul, an old man. But he's appealing to him as an old friend, and now also as a prisoner for the sake of Christ. He says, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Now, I don't know the whole backstory. I don't know if Onesimus was in prison or if he came to visit Paul. But they had an incredible relationship. And here was this man who ran away from his owner, from his slave owner. And Paul wants to reconcile them. He wants to bring them together, but Paul sees the value in Onesimus, and his very name means useful. I love that. So, he makes the appeal. And then, finally, in verses 17 and 18, and I encourage you to read the whole thing. It's just like 24 verses. Not right now, maybe in a little bit. So, if you consider me your partner, Philemon, welcome him as you would welcome me. Putting his credibility on the line, saying, treat him like you would treat me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. So, I've got to ask the question, why is this obscure, short, kind of intriguing story included in the canon of Scripture? When he wrote it, it wasn't considered Scripture. It was just a letter that he wrote to a friend. But years and years, even decades later, they still had it, and they included it. I think it's because they knew what happened with the rest of the story. What's the rest of the story? I can't guarantee you, but I have a really good idea that this was redemptive not only for Onesimus, because we read in Colossians 4:9 that Paul says, I am sending Onesimus to you, and he's going to give you this full report. Well, the only way that Paul was able to send Onesimus to the other people in Colossae, how? As if he was a free man. How did he become a free man? Because a man had a change of heart. Because Paul came alongside his friend Philemon and says, you know what, brother, I love you. But you have an area in your life that needs God's attention. And it brought about transformation. Friends, sometimes we're looking for people to conform to rules and regulations that only go so far. God wants to transform hearts, and God can and does transform hearts. So not only do I believe that this was transformational, and they knew it, and that's why I believe it's included in the canon of Scripture. It changed Onesimus' life forever. But that slave owner, he was set free too. It was redemptive in Philemon's life. And so, in this unique season that we're walking through, may America experience not just conformity to new standards, but transformation from the inside out, real change. And it's going to take people to pattern it. It's going to take people to show us the way. And that's what Paul did for Philemon. And that's what we need to do for one another. People change people. And so today you might feel like, what difference can I make? You can make a difference in one person's life today and another person's life tomorrow. Everything that we do and say matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great hope that we have, that all of the difficult things that we've seen through the history of humankind here on earth, the wars, the just ethnic cleansing, horrible things, someday you're going to bring that to an end. And even today already, you are raising us up above the differences that we have. Father, help us to see that we can all be your children, that you love each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you would touch each person here. Wherever we need transformation, bring that transformation by the power of your Spirit. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. Thank you for making us one in Christ. Thank you that there is no distinction, that we are all one. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be back after this song.
Before he spoke creation, the God of heaven knew our names. Formed in his reflection, we are his glory on display. And his heart is good. He's always kind. With the cross he proved he is on our side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. And though we stumble, He will not let us fall. We are the Lord's, and He will never forsake His own. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. His love He lavished on us and calls us children of the King. And in His loving kindness, He chose the lowly and the weak. And His heart is good, He is always kind. With a cross He proved, He is on our side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. And though we stumble, He will not let us fall. We are the Lord's, and He will never forsake His own. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. When the lies speak louder than the truth, remind me I belong to You. When I can't see past the dark of night, remind me You're always by my side. When the lies speak louder than the truth, remind me I belong to You. When I can't see past the dark of night, remind me You're always by my side. You're by my side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. And though we stumble, He will not let us fall. We are the Lord's, and He will never forsake His own. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God.
I want to encourage you that we continue to look up. Look up to God, trust Him to bring us through, knowing that we can make a difference in a lot of people's lives as we keep our eyes on Him, and that He has given us His Spirit, His heart, His DNA for that very reason. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thanks for joining us today.